Way back in the Bible, the Hebrew language says that we were taught that we could praise the Lord in seven ways. Seven great expressions, seven different flows, seven ways to worship God, and this is how it goes. Sacrifice, praising God in spite the fact your world is in a vice. It's praise that pushes through the wall of all adversity, an offering that flows to heaven in our time of need. Somebody say mine,
mine.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Say body,
body.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
That means to lift your hands in response to what the Lord has done throughout the land. An outward sign of what's inside for all the world to see. A demonstration of our love. So come praise the Lord with me. Can you wave one hand and say praise the Lord? Can you wave both hands and say praise the Lord? Now can you clap those hands and say praise the Lord? Means to bow in the awesome presence of the Lord and all his power.
Just be overwhelmed, cause you hardly can believe that you've been given favor by his holy majesty.
Praise the Lord, praise the
given way before the answer comes about. A public testimony that drowns out all the noise of whiners and complainers as the saints all lift their voice. If you believe that God's alive today, shout yeah. If you believe he's worthy of our praise, shout yeah. If you believe the answer's on the way, shout yeah. Number five is Samar. It's playing any instrument that glorifies the Lord. Instruments that blast, instruments that strum, instruments that keep the beat. So I praise you, my drum. Six we call halal, that means to rave and boast. And praise the Lord in such a way that gets you on your toes.
Wait a minute,
What?
Hey, now what did you say?
It's beyond just clapping hands. But best of all, this is the one that makes you wanna dance. Joy!
Come on now, come on now. On the count of three, I want you to give me the biggest praise the Lord that you can give. One, two, three. Yeah, now you got it. I think I'm just going to sit back down now. You don't even need to hear me speak today. Man, did you like that video? Man, that's awesome, isn't it? That might be a little old for some of you. That guy's name is Carmen. He was around a long, long time ago, and he was very big back in my day, back when I was younger. And I find it kind of interesting that Pastor asked me to speak today, and as you can probably tell by that video, we're going to be talking about seven ways to praise the Lord. But that's going to come a little bit at the end of the message today. But I thought what was kind of neat, if you guys could pull me down just a little bit, I think I'm a little bit loud, if you guys don't mind, is I did that song years ago when I was at another church. I was part of a creative ministry team, and I was part of the mime team. And we actually did that song, Seven Ways to Praise the Lord, as a mime. And it was so much fun. It was probably one of our favorite skits that we put on was Seven Ways to Praise the Lord. And unbeknownst to me back then, I'd be standing here on stage today talking about seven ways to praise the Lord. So are you excited today? Yeah, good. All right. Well, I just want to say welcome to church. It's awesome to see you today. It really is. You guys look beautiful and handsome out there. You guys look good as always. And if you came expecting Pastor today, well, sorry. You got me. So you drew the short straw today. So that's all I can say. No, really. Pastor came to me a few weeks ago, and he was doing this message on Choose Joy. And he said, would you consider doing part four? And he said, I think that really fits you as our worship pastor. And he said, I think it would do really well if you wouldn't mind doing it. I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And, of course, after I say that, you know, in my mind, like, what did I get myself into? You know, a lot of preparation for these sermons. You guys really don't realize how much work goes into them. Do you really appreciate your pastor? Let me tell you, give him a big hand. Because if you ever get asked to speak, you're going to find out how much work it takes to put together one of these sermons. I'm just telling you. Pastor taking a little break today, which is much needed. Pastor, we love you. He works hard for most. If you guys don't know our pastor, he is a bivocational pastor. He is not full-time here at the church. He does not get paid by the church. Believe it or not, he is one of the few pastors around that is bivocational. And we really appreciate you, Pastor. Thank you. And I'm glad you're getting a little break today so that I can help fill in. But I also want to say not only welcome to you, but I also want to say welcome to our Facebook Live crowd. Let's give it up for them. It's always good to have them each and every week. I'm usually the one standing back there behind the computer, and I'm getting to interact with them, and I'm putting up all the points that you see on the screen and the verses. Those things just don't automatically appear on Facebook, I promise you. So we have to sit back there, and we're doing a lot of copying and pasting and editing and stuff that we can put those up so people who's watching Facebook Live, because they can see our screens, some on their thing, but if they're looking at it on the phone, then obviously that's pretty small. So we put the verses and the points up there that they can follow along with us. And as always, Facebook, if you would like to go and download, go to crosspointworshipcenter.com, click on this message series, and you can actually download today's notes, and you can have them actually right there in front of you. Just as all of you should have gotten today as you walked in the door, you should have gotten your notes, right? Pull those out. Let me see them. Let me see your notes. You got them? Hey, I see some. There you go. Good. Hope you got a pen with that. And so there's going to be some fill in the blanks and some scripture there. So let's get right in to today's message. And as we've been preparing and doing this series, we're hoping that you would have a great year of joy. And some of you are probably saying, well, I'm still waiting for it. I wish you'd go ahead and come on, right? You need that joy. But really what this series has been all about is that you don't just have joy. Did you understand what I said? You don't just have joy. Joy is a feeling. It's a choice. You have to choose joy. You have to choose it. And so all throughout this series, we've talked about the four different things that you can do and some choices you can make to produce joy. So week one was choose to praise. Anybody remember that? Choose to praise. And when you choose to pray, you're going to experience more joy. It is a promise and a reality. Week two, my lovely wife brought that sermon, Choice of Purity. It's hard to be guilty and happy at the same time. Man, when she put that point out, I was like, wow, that is so true. It is hard to be guilty and happy at the same time. It just can't happen. And so you might be saying, I'm just not going to continue to make those choices because all of those impurities are robbing me of my joy. Think about it. If you're choosing impurity, you are robbing yourself of joy, I promise you. In week three last week, our pastor brought last week was, our purpose is joy. And he talked about how we can choose to make that a priority in our life. So I'm hoping that through this series and even by the end of the day that you're going to choose joy and you're going to make that a priority in your life. So today we're going to be talking about the fourth way to choose joy. But before I do, I wanted to give you our theme verse, which is found in 2 Corinthians. And this is where Paul was having a really hard time in his life. There's an entire chapter of the Bible where he lists all of his bad days, all in one chapter, and he says, sorrowful. He said, I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Amen? He was poor, yet he helped to make many rich. He says, I have nothing, and yet I possess everything. So is that some of you today? Maybe some of you are sorrowful or poor, or maybe you feel like you don't have anything. But yet, you need to choose rejoicing, and you need to choose to help make others rich. Even though you say, well, I might be rich, that's okay. You may still be drawing a paycheck. That's okay. At least you're helping that person help give you a paycheck. Amen? And then having nothing, yet you possess everything. We may look at our worldly possessions, and we may say, well, I really don't have a whole lot. But you know what? In the end, those worldly possessions mean nothing. I hate to tell you this, but they're all going to burn up anyway, amen? It don't matter how nice they are, or how pretty they look, how shiny they may be. In the end, they're all going away. But if you have God in your heart, you have everything that you need. We don't need those worldly possessions. It says, if you can make these choices, we promise you, and God's word promises you, that it produces joy. Prayer produces joy. When you can start your day off with prayer and offload the things that are really going on in your life, think about it. The Bible says that it's going to produce joy. Whenever you can make the choice of purity, it's hard to be guilty and happy at the same time that I said a while ago. We make choices of purity. There's joy on the other side, and as Pastor Theron brought so beautifully last week, he talked about how to have purpose and how we can live our purpose of joy. So today, I want to give you another word that starts with the letter P, and you've probably already figured it out, right? Praise, absolutely. It's a choice that really produces joy. And it says, if you have the guts to try this, this really produces great joy. It's found in the book of Isaiah, and it's a prophecy about Jesus. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Christ, he even saw that Christ would produce joy in our lives. So let's see what the book of Isaiah 61 has to say about it. It says, to give them the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of what? There you go. For the spirit of heaviness. And I love this part here that it talks about, it's the garment of praise. As I said, we don't just have praise. It's something we have to do. We have to praise, but we don't have the joy, so it's something we have to do. So we have to take that garment, and we have to put that garment of praise on. And whether you like it or not, there is a spirit of heaviness in this world, right? And there's also a spirit of heavenlies. And there's an area in the unseen world that is in operation whether you like it or not. You might say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe that there's a spirit of heaviness. I don't believe in that weird stuff out there. Well, I don't really care if you believe it or not. It's true. It doesn't change the fact that it's still true. There are demonic forces at work. There's really a spirit of heaviness trying to get people depressed. And honestly, I think the devil's unleashed it in an unprecedented level. We have more people today thinking about suicide. More people are depressed, and more people are on anxiety medication than any other time there's been in history. There is a spirit of heaviness out there in the world. But notice what gets rid of the spirit of heaviness. Look at it again. It's the garment of praise. I want you to make a couple observations about that garment of praise. And first, it's a garment. It isn't on you. You have to put it on. In fact, we've entitled this first section, you got to put on your praise. So is everybody still with me? All right. So think about it. That garment of praise is probably hanging right there in your closet, your spiritual closet. I just need to get you, get it out, okay? It's within reach. Take it out, and you can have it. It's probably not on you now, and you may say, come in and say, I don't even feel like it. I don't even want to wear it. It's not even on you, but that's okay, because you've got to put on that praise. You've got to make a choice. You might be saying, I don't feel like shouting right now. I don't feel like clapping right now. I don't even like that song you sang this morning. No, no, no. Come on now. We don't filter it through our feelings. Instead, we decide, I'm going to put on my praise. And I'm not saying that so that we can have exciting church services. I'm saying that because it's going to help you walk out of this room in a different condition than when you came in this room today. Amen? Are y'all listening to me? Is anybody listening to me? We're just trying to help you get through life a little better today. Notice that it's the garment of praise, not the garment of worship. So I'm going to talk a little bit of difference now at this point about what's the difference between praise and what is the difference between worship. And there is a distinct difference. In fact, you'll never see worship as something you put on. In fact, worship is important, and it's an important part of your Christian life. It's your expression of love to God. And a lot of what we do is worship. Worship is an internal expression of how I feel and how God feels about me. It's much different. In fact, some of you may have wondered, why do we always start off with those fast songs and then we go to those slow songs? Let me tell you why we do that. Because it's in the Bible. Maybe you never really thought about that. Like, really? It's in the Bible? Yeah, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, enter his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Into his courts with what? Praise. So we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's why we do the fast stuff up front, and then we go to the slower songs. It's not just because, well, I think that's, I don't know, that's kind of neat. I don't know. Every church I go to, that's pretty much about what they do. Yeah, because it's biblical. And when we do that, we have the joy on the inside of us when we do the fast stuff, this the praise part. And then we turn it around and do the worship. And that's when it becomes very introspective. It becomes expression filled. It becomes a focus on Jesus and his focus on the inside of us. In fact, there's one that's not in your voice. I'm going to give you, this is the scripture that backs that up of Psalms 95. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So there you go. There's one part of it, right? And then just a few more verses down, we're going to turn that around. So in verses 6 and 7, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So if someone ever comes to you and says, well, I don't understand why we do that. You say, it's biblical. Psalm 95, right there you go. Just give them that psalm. It's very biblical of what we do. It says, but if you miss the praise in your life and you just have the worship in your life, you are missing out on a critical area. So that's why I want to kind of help you understand the difference between praise today and also worship. Now, we're going to be focusing more on the praise, okay? Because that's what really brings us the joy. So we're going to focus on that, but I want you to understand there's two distinct differences. That's why a lot of times that you see the team is up here, they're called a praise and worship team. We just call ours a worship team, but a lot of churches, we call them a praise and worship team. So let's dive into it just a little more. I'm telling this because we praise God for his mighty works and what he has done. So none of it is about me. And I thank God for technology, and I thank God that we can have an online experience with Facebook Live. And the people sitting there listening can have that experience. But if you can be in this room, you need to be in this room. I mean, that's great. That's all well and good. And that's great for people who can't get out. And maybe for people who are shut in. But I'm even going to tell the people on Facebook Live, if you can get in a room, you need to get in a room. I'm just telling you. Don't let that be your only experience. You just sit behind a computer or a phone screen or whatever it may be, you don't get the full experience. And why do I say that? It's because when you're in this room, there's an excitement. There's excitement that you don't get when you're watching online. It said, I need you. That's why I need you here. I need you in this room. And I don't just need you, we all need you. Amen? That's why it says, don't forget these, to say the assembling of yourselves together. It's another scripture that backs that up. Amen? It says, I can worship without you, but I cannot praise without you. You say, really? No, I mean, when I'm doing my all-out praise, I need to do it with you, okay? Praising without you is like going to one of the football stadiums by yourself. Think about it. Has anybody ever gone over to the Panther Stadium and they're having one of their Sunday games and there's one person sitting in the stadium? I don't think so. If they did, you'd be sitting there going, they're going to be sitting there going, yay, good play. Way to go, guys. No, there's an excitement. You build off that excitement when you're in that stadium with all those people. It's the same as when we come to church, right? But when we go to worship, see, praise is more horizontal. It's more us, okay? Now, we can praise God. Don't get me wrong. We do praise God, but praise is more for us and that feeling that joy. But then worship, then it becomes vertical. So I want you to get that. With worship, I turn all of my attention on God and I focus on God, which, by the way, is why we should never do anything in a worship service that draws attention to us. Because whenever we do something that makes us stick out, no longer are our eyes on Jesus. We're all looking at you. But let me give you one more. Worship is a response. It's more like, God, do you love me? And obviously he's going to say yes. And you say, I love you too, God. That's worship. That's worship. But praise, I want to submit to you today, is a choice. So praise is not something you naturally want to do. Where I maintain worship is something you really naturally want to do. And so what I want to do is I want to talk to you into being a person who can praise God. Because if you can put on that garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness that's on your lives and in your family and in your emotions and on your mind is going to be gone in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. If you put on that garment of praise, all of that stuff is going to be gone. That spirit of heaviness is going to be gone. All right, so I want you to write this down. You got your notes there. First fill in the blank. Let me tell you why this works. Praise focuses on God and not me. Praise focuses on God and not me. Like the whole part of praise is not about me, and I maintain that we live in one of the most narcissistic societies ever. And I'll throw myself in there too. I mean, we are a selfie generation. Amen? How many times do you see people going around doing these selfies? And I'll tell you what, some of these people are really funny. They're making duck faces all going, you know, it's hilarious. It's all about us in this day and age, right? We want everything to be about us. If it makes me feel good, it meets my needs and me. It's such a me generation. We see it even in politics. I'm not going to politics, but I'm just saying, but we see it across the board. We're hearing it on the TVs. It's all about me. Now, I want to be very clear. God cares about you, but you'll get joy when you can get your eyes off of you and on to God. So you can sit around all day and talk about all the stuff that's wrong. And when I got to that point, it really brought back to me a memory that I have of, does anybody remember the old show Hee Haw? Okay. I had to look it up because I couldn't quite remember all the words. This is one of the songs that, if you guys will remember, that you'll remember it. It's one of the songs they used to sing, and I think some of us are singing that. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Or you could come into a place and sing about the greatness of our God. Are y'all following anybody? Psalms 50 says, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. Now, I just want to encourage you to make part of this thing that we call music and worship and praise, and we're going to make it about our God and not really about us. Amen? Still with me? All right, let me give you one other one that'll help you understand the difference. Praise, it's different than worship. Worship gets me right here in the moment, but praise reminds me of the eternal and not the temporal. Praise reminds me of the eternal and not the temporal. In fact, when I praise, I'll make some declarations that currently aren't even true. So we'll say, God, you're great, and I got the victory. And you really don't have the victory, but you're singing it anyway. Because sometimes we have to go and make those declarations anyway, right? You may have come here this morning and singing those songs like, alive, alive, that's great, and all that. And you're like, da-da-da-da. And you may not have been more victory than you had last week. You may have fought with your wife or your husband all the way to church this morning. If you got, I don't see any kids, but you know, no kids this morning. But if you got kids, you know, some people fight with their kids all the way here, right? But sometimes we have to make those declarations, even in light of our situations that were going on. But what I'm saying is get your eyes off the temporal once in a while, and you've got at some point, you've got to think about God's reality. And you heard what I said. We've got to think about God's reality, not ours, right? There's a discipline in the Christian life that you must learn, and that is it's not working out, but it's going to work out. And I'm not going to give much commentary to this, and I'm not going to give much commentary to where I am, but to where I'm going. Amen? We can't think of the here and now. We got to think about the future. We got to think about the eternity of where God's going to take us. Because nobody ever promises this life's going to be a bed of roses. I promise you that. So if you think that coming to the Lord and accepting, like, oh man, all my problems are going to go away, hate to tell you, they're not. It's just you can deal with those problems a lot better. Amen? You know you got somebody going before you and fighting your battles. Amen? So what are we going to do? We're going to put on that garment of praise. We're going to praise through those problems, right? So Paul teaches us, I love this scripture here. Because Paul teaches us this secret in 2 Corinthians. Says, we are hard-pressed on every side. So let me stop right there. We are hard-pressed on every side. That means that side, and that side, and that side, and that side. But what does he say? But I'm not what? Crushed. You may feel the pressure coming on. You may be like, man, I don't know if I could take it anymore. I just feel like I'm just being so weighed down. But just think about it. If God's there with you, you're not crushed. You may be perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed before? Yeah, I just don't kind of understand it. I don't quite get it, right? But you're not in despair, right? Persecuted. Now, I don't know if you've ever really been persecuted or not. Now, we may think we're persecuted, and somebody may make fun of us or what we believe in or whatever, and that is a form of persecution. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not downplaying that. But when you go to some of these other countries that truly get persecuted for their beliefs and what they believe in, but they stand up for God anyway, they're not abandoned. Amen? Think about the three Hebrew children in the Bible, right? I just heard a message on that. I was going to Charleston this week, and I had the radio on, and a minister came on, and he was talking about that. They were persecuted big time, thrown into the fiery furnace. But they were not what? That's right. They were not abandoned. They were not destroyed. You're right. Absolutely. And I love that. It says, struck down, but not destroyed. Let's go on to the next one. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Don't go on to sing right there. For our light and, does it say constant, persistent, eternal troubles? No, momentary. Momentary. So this too is going to pass. God's going to be there with us. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is what? Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen? So that's what praise does. Praise is optimistic. Praise says it's going to work out, it's going to work out, and God is strong. He's never, ever, ever let me down. Amen? So I want you to come on, I want you to praise God, and that's very, very, very important. Important. And I'm trying to get this into your life today, that praise is very important to your life. And here's the last one, fill in blank. Last one is, and that is, praise is outward, not inward. So are you getting this today? Praise is outward, not inward. Praise is expressive, it's outward. It's a problem that a lot of people have. Some of you are singing, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? In my heart. Well, I'm not singing it. I think you kind of locked it up down in your heart, right? So when you get the joy out of our heart and into our hands, get into our feet, we need to get into our bodies, we need to get into our actions, amen? So praise is very outward, but worship is very inward. I can lose my feelings and the things that are going on inside of me, which are important. And I'll say again, that is why we do both. We do both a praise and worship. But I'm afraid that we've learned how to worship and we've forgotten how to praise. I think that has a lot to do with how we're raised and brought up in church, though. It was more important to worship, and we focused on that more than we did praise. I know it was when I was brought up. So we loved the worship and didn't talk a lot about the praise. So I want you to understand that praise first is important. And then let's focus on the worship. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Now, how often did it say to offer sacrifice of praise? I don't know how you look at continually, but I think that means all the time, amen? That's kind of how I was brought to learn that word. But the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. So we are continuing to offer praise and sacrifice of praise. And that's why we've called this last installment of our series, the title of today's message is The Sacrificial Choice. I'm calling it the choice that when you're in the middle of your worst day, this is the last thing you want to do. But it's a thing that brings you joy in the middle of your worst day. In fact, even on your best day, some of you still don't really want to do it. I have a tendency to want to do things that make me feel good, but when I make that sacrificial choice, I have a sacrifice of praise. And now the Bible describes it, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. There you're going to find joy. Everybody's expression of worship and praise is different, and I get that. Mine is very expressive. If you've been here long enough and you've seen me behind this keyboard, you see that, especially when we're doing the fast stuff, I cannot stand still a lot of times. In fact, I want to come off that keyboard sometimes. I'm just telling you. Mine's very expressive. But we want you to understand there's no expectation. Worship needs to be between you and God, not you and your church. So I'm not standing up here today, and I'm not dictating of how you're going to praise and how you're going to worship. I'm just trying to give you some new ways to think about it, right? I'm trying to give you some biblical perspective on praise and worship. I'm not here dictating. And this really came to light to me one time because, as I said, when I was brought up, I think we focused more on the worship than we did the praise. And I've been doing music for a really long time. And I remember I was at another church, and I was talking to the pastor at that church, and I said, you know, it really bothered me when we're doing worship that, man, people aren't standing, they're not raising their hands, and, you know, because that's how I was brought up. I mean, that's how I was taught to do it. And I'll never forget, this brought it all into perspective to me. And he looked at me, he says, how do you know that person that is sitting down in that chair, and they got tears streaming down their face, how do you know they're not worshiping? So if you remember what I said a while ago, praise is outward, worship is inward. Amen? So that really helped bring in perspective. So I don't want you to get it wrong. I'm not up here and like, oh God, you know, we're not doing it. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to help you to understand this. So what I'm trying to urge you to do is to take another step closer to God's style of praise, not Crosspoint's style of praise. This is God's word. This is God's style of praise. So that you can get the joy that he wants to provide you in the middle of your problems. Amen? I'm telling you, go after God with everything. But when you do, I'm going to give you a warning. All of hell and some of the earth is going to come against you. And you're going to say, oh boy, I don't know if I really want to do that or not. Okay, think back to what Paul said. He was pressed on every side. But he was not what? Crushed. Amen? He had troubles, but he wasn't abandoned. Amen? So, even with that, I want you to go after it with all your heart. You're going to have some people, you might even have friends, that may even laugh at you. and make fun of you. And even the religious ones are definitely going to. I'll promise you that when you hear me say religious. Those are the ones that don't really get it. Okay? In fact, they may even call you that hand-raising church. They may even say, are y'all that happy church? I heard a pastor say that one time. So I go to him and said, are y'all that happy church? And he's like, yeah, like, what are y'all? Like, is there another church there is around? You know, you're not happy? He even had a guy come up to him and said, what's up with that hand-raising thing that y'all do? And so I just looked at him and simply said, it's in the Bible. And the guy's like, oh, good point. It's not something that we just conjured up. It's not something that we just do to get you to get your hands in the air. No. It's biblical. Amen? So I want to even point out a point here that where this is a good illustration of where this happened. It says it's the Sunday before Jesus was raised from the dead. We call it Palm Sunday. We're going to celebrate that here in a few weeks. It's called Palm Sunday because they got palm branches out and celebrated like a parade. They entered into the city of Jerusalem of Jesus. In fact, this is what it says in Luke 19. Let's go there. Right at the crest where Mount of Olives begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise. And I want to stop there because that was not their normal mode of operation. That's not normally how they did things. But they burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. Stay right there just a minute. Over all the mighty works. The mighty works they had witnessed was all the miracles that God had done. He had healed people, raised people from the dead. That's why they were enthusiastic about it, right? It says they gave enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. So let's go to the next verse. Blessed is he who comes, the King in... Let me start back. Blessed is he who comes, the King in God's name. All's well in heaven. Glory in the high places. Go on. Some Pharisees, religious people back in those days, from the crowd told him, teacher, get your disciples under control. But he said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. So I don't know about you, and we've heard it for years, but I don't want a stone shouting out praise because I won't give a praise to my God. Amen? And I think some of us, sometimes we need to put some rocks up here on the stage because I just think sometimes we just don't get it. It'd be a good illustration, right? Well, if I don't get my praise on those rocks, Mike. Now, I'm not talking about those little rocks that you buy and put in your garden that's got a speaker in it, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking a real bona fide rock. But think about it. They were telling, the religious people were saying, well, get them under control over there. They're being a little bit too exuberant. Man, you're never going to hear that in this church, okay? We want you to get your praise on. So I said a while ago, we want you to get your praise on. Amen? So I'm going to tell you, the devil wants you under control so that you never get joy. What this whole series has been about anyway, right? We're not trying to get you to conform into anything. We're not trying to make you look like us. We're just trying to get some joy into your life. The scripture is the reaction of all those whose lives have been impacted by a very mighty, alive, and real God. And if you've had that experience with God, we want you to celebrate the same way. We want you to be enthusiastic in your praise. So I only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a biblical lesson here. We're drawing this to an end. This is where the fun begins, okay? I give you all that background to get you to this point. This has to do everything to do with the video that I showed you today on seven ways to praise the Lord. So, are you ready? All right, so here we go. So you often hear a lot of teachers and preachers when they get up before you and they say, in the Greek this word means, or in the Hebrew this word means this. Have you ever heard anybody say that? We've heard pastors say that, right? Well, the Greek word is, or the Hebrew word is, right? Well, I'm going to help you with that just a little bit here. Says, our Bible's original manuscripts, they were not written in the English language, believe it or not, because none of this happened in England or in America. Now, I hate to burst your bubble, and maybe you thought that the Bible was wrote here in America. It wasn't. It's just a translation. Do you get me? Don't get hung up on a translation. And I'm being ugly. Don't get hung up on a one translation, because there's not one that is correct. They all have their flaws, okay, because they're not in the original manuscripts. All of this took place in the Middle East. So I want to give you just a little bit of background so you know where I'm going with this. The language of the nation of Israel was the Hebrew language. Most of it, if not all of your Old Testament, was written in the Hebrew language. That was the original manuscripts. And the New Testament, because the Greeks were influenced in education at the time, the New Testament was primarily written in Greek. And the reason why that's important is that the Greek language has four times more words than the English language. So that's why I said, don't get hung up on a translation. Just burst your bubble, sorry. Don't get me wrong, I have my favorite translations as well. But four times more words than our language, right? So I'm going to give you just a little bit of an illustration behind that. So we have the words in the Greek like love, and that's our English word, is just love, that's all we get. But it could be one of three or four different words. So in the Greek language, it could mean agape, which means it's the unconditional love of God, where it doesn't matter what you do, he still loves you. But there again, we just have the word in the English language, which is love. But it could be the Greek word eros, and that's where we get the word erotic, and you know what that means. And there's another Greek word, phileo, which means it's brotherly love. There's no physical intimacy at all. It's just you're my bud, man. Man, I love you. You're a good guy, man. I love you. That's what it means. But all we get in the English language is what? Love. That's all we get. So you have to understand a little bit of the history behind this. So the same word in English, different words in the Greek. Well, the Hebrew is even more expressive than that. You're like, really? More expressive than that? Yes. In fact, it takes whole paragraphs, to describe one Hebrew word. It's a pictorial language. So if pastor ever gets up and says, I'm going to speak to you today in Hebrew, drag out your pillows and your blankets because we're going to be here for a while. Sometimes it takes a whole paragraph to describe one word from the Hebrew. So also in the English, we get this word praise in the largest book of our Bible. Well, that'll tell you something. God made the biggest book about what we're talking about today, and so it must be pretty important to him, right? He devoted 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, or the Song of Praise, and the only word we get in the English language is praise. That's all we get. But he wrote a whole book on it, 150 chapters on it. So it must be pretty important. So you see why today that this message is so important that we understand the significance of praise and what it means in our life. But here we go. I'm going to give you seven different words. You've already heard them on the video, but I'm going to talk about them just a little bit here. We're going to talk about seven different words, Hebrew words, and I'm going to tell you what they really mean. So we'll write these down really fast, right? Let's see. I got a few minutes. Okay, here we go. So the first one is Hallel. And this is where we get the word Hallelujah, okay? And the word Yah at the end of Hallelujah, it just means God in Hebrew. So we Hallel God. You say, well, what does Hallel mean? No, I didn't write this. And this is in every pastor's library in the world. And it's the same definition as in the Hebrew dictionary that we use. And this is the definition of Hallel when you say Hallelujah. You what? You rave, you boast, you celebrate, and to be clamorously foolish. Now, I didn't write that, okay? So it kind of sounds like Sundays in Panther Stadium, doesn't it? Maybe not this past year, but when they're having a really good year, that kind of sounds like us. We rave, we boast, we celebrate. Yeah, go, good guy, man. We get up, we cheer them on, right? Maybe you're cheering on your favorite driver in NASCAR. We tried to watch it last week, and the weather just didn't cooperate last week. Well, anyway, they head down on Friday, but maybe you got a favorite driver or whatever. But that's what we do. Psalms 35 says, I will thank you in front of the great assembly, and I will praise you before all the people. Amen? Didn't say I'm just going to praise you at home, and I'm just going to go in my closet. No, I'm going to praise you before all the people. All right, here's a second word, and that word is yada. And no, I didn't say Yoda. That's the little green man, okay, on the movies, all right? Yada means to acknowledge God in public. So the best illustration I can give you that is I'm married. It's my lovely wife down here, Miss Karen. She was up here singing today. Thank you. She helped fill in. We have a couple ladies who are out today. But it'd be like me when I'm at home and I'm going out for the day and I take this wedding band off and I go, I'm just going to leave that laying there on the dresser, honey, and I'm going to go out today and I'm going to go about my day. And she's going to look at me like, what? And I go out my bed and I don't acknowledge her at all. I don't have anything to signify that I'm even married, do I? But when I come back home, and I haven't talked about her anything all day, and I'm out, but I come back home and say, well, you know, I just love you. I love you down in my heart. I love you down in my heart. I just didn't want to express it out to anybody. You know what? That'd be teeth, hair, and eyeballs, you know, if that happened when I come home. No, my wife don't want me going out of the house without that wedding band on, right? I'm going to acknowledge that I'm married. I love my wife, right? And that's what we need about God. We need to yada. We need to acknowledge him in public. And come on. Now, God's no different, right? Now, I'm not trying to make you mad, but it offends God. Our conservative, and I'll keep it to myself, praise offends God. It really does. Don't keep it to yourself. Let it out. And even Jesus said, if you can't acknowledge me in front of people, well, then I can't what? Acknowledge you before who? My Father in heaven. I'm not up here just rambling on some words. You may think I'm rambling today, but I'm not just rambling on some words. I'm trying to give you some biblical principles and scriptures to back this up today. Amen? Psalms 138 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Don't just give him a little piece like, oh, Frank, thank you, that's good. I'm just going to give you a little bit. I'm going to come here. I did my daily service to you. I came to church this morning and all that stuff. No, give him with all your heart. Are y'all getting this today? You getting anything out of this? Great. Get a little Hebrew lesson? Yeah, there you go. Good. Hope I'm helping you understand it. All right, third word. Third word is Barak. And it means to bless by kneeling or bowing. God wants to bless you whenever you bow or kneel. So does that mean physically doing it? Well, not necessarily, although you can. But it literally means if you look deeper into the definition, when you barak, you present yourself to God, expecting him to give you something you don't currently have. It's an attitude of, wow, God, you're such a generous, amazing God. So I'm going to barak you, amen? I'm going to bless you by kneeling or bowing. He's majesty, amen? Be like a king or queen when you come before them. They're majesty. Psalm 103 backs this up. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Here's the fourth word, and that word is zamar. It means to praise God with musical instrument, namely the string ones. And in Psalm 92 and 1 is where that is used. Psalm 92 and 1, it says, It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Amen. And here's another scripture. This one's not in your notes. I don't want to give you this one. This is Psalm 150. Let's put that one up. There we go. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Amen. Well, I'm going to be honest. I got a little confession here. I didn't really want to do this verse. Because it says praising with a tambourine. Some of you are laughing because you know what that means. I am not a tambourine person, okay? Now, I love it when Atkins back here, and I don't see one back here, but anyway, he's had a tambourine before. I love it when the percussionists use a tambourine. But I'm going to tell you what. I gave myself, I think I have tambophobia, okay? I am not kidding. I was brought up in church where anybody and everybody was allowed to bring a tambourine to church. And let me tell you, it was bad. It was really, really bad. You got people out in the audience, they got these tambourines, and they're just beating these things, they're just going to town. I mean, it really is distracting. I'm just being honest, it's distracting, okay? And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. So I had this little heart-to-heart with this pastor, but I did have it with this pastor too, but with another pastor I was at. When another church I used to lead worship, I said, Pastor, we cannot allow people to bring tambourines into the church unless they're on the worship praise team, okay? Because sure enough, they'll get out there and they'll be offbeat, and it's all about them a lot of times. I'm just telling you, it's all about them. So he agreed when we had a lady who brought her tambourine, and we had to have a little talk with her. We just said, we love you, and we want you to come to church, but we're going to ask you, please leave your tambourine at home. Thank you. So I got another funny story. And please don't send me any hate mail this week, any emails, please. I'm sorry. I'm being honest. I mean, I do. So I got a funny story about a tambourine. This was really funny. And you notice what I said a while ago, that when we worship, we don't want it to be about us, right? We take it off of him when it's about us. So, this is a church that my mother and father used to go to. And I would visit once in a while. I didn't go with them all the time to this church. And there was a lady who, there again, when I said people were allowed to bring tambourines to church, she brought her tambourine to church. And she did. It wasn't just good enough for her to sit out here in the congregation and play it. No. She had to stand all the way up front, right behind the piano player, and I don't mean play that thing. She would beat that thing. There's a difference between playing a tambourine and beating a tambourine, okay? There's a difference. She was all into it. I mean, it was all about her, let me tell you. So, some of the people got pretty upset with her. So the young people, to this day, I still don't know who did it. And it wasn't me. I promise you, I didn't go to that church. But some young people went into the church one night, and they got her tambourine, and they glued the cymbals together on that thing. I am not kidding you. It was hilarious. I about fell out when I found it out. I'm like, oh, good for them. I'm like, I'd like to give those. It was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. You know, I was like, man, I need to give those young people a trophy or something. I need a plaque. That's hilarious. That's brilliant. Because, I mean, it got to that point. It was just really about her. It was really being distracting. And that's why we try not to our worship set. We don't want our sword service to be distracting for you, because we never know when somebody new may come in who doesn't, that's never been in church before, all right? And that's really what it's all about. It's not about who can play, who can't play. It's just about distraction. Well, anyway, let's say the lady didn't find it too funny. But I found it quite hilarious. So anyways, there's my story about the tambourines. So remember, no hate emails this week, please me. So anyway, with this one here, it's talking about praising with the flutes and the strings, the instruments, and on the high-sounding cymbals. I thought about getting Akin up here, man, just going to town on those cymbals, man. I'm telling you. I love it when we just give this most awesome praise. And some of you may think, man, I think it's a little loud in here. Well, if you think it's loud here, then you're not going to like heaven at all. I promise you that. Because they said in heaven, it's like the sound of 1,000 waterfalls. Can you imagine 1,000 waterfalls around you? It is giving praise to our God. So come on, somebody. If you think it's loud here, get used to it. Let's move on, right? All right, here we go. The fifth word is Shabak. Shabak. And it means to address God in a loud tone and with a shout. And that's why whenever your team wins or they score a touchdown and it's been a close game, you go, yay, yay, yay. You don't go on and go, yeah, good job. Way to go, guys. Good job. No, you're shouting, you're screaming, right? Let me put it to you this way. Wonder if you had a family member and they've gone off on a trip or whatever and they've been gone for an extended period of time and you're going to meet them at the airport and you see them come around the corner and you're looking for them. You don't sit there and go, hey, guys, it's good to see you. Glad you're back. No! You're standing there, hey, guys, over here. Hey, I love you, great. It's so good to see you. And you're running over to them, and you're grabbing them, and you're hugging them. And if it's a little kid, you may be throwing them up in the air. That's what it means to Shabak, right? We're going to address him with a loud tone and with a shout. Why is it normal every other place, but it can't be normal before our God? Amen? I'm just saying, we'll scream for everything else but God. I'm a huge Panthers fan. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to give more praise to a team that doesn't even know me than I am a God who created me. Is anybody getting this? I'm going to Shabak before my God today. Now I'll Shabak down there at the Panther Stadium too. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to Shabak in church. And that's why I'm so excited. I'm so enthusiastic when I'm up here on this stage. This is not a show. It's not a put on, because I have it down in my heart, and I've got it out of my heart, and it's into my hands, and it's in my feet and stuff. And I just want to give praise to God because he's done so much for me. Amen? Psalm 63 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up your hands. Number 6, Toda. Toda is where we get the hand thing. So if anybody asks you where you get the hand thing, it's Toda. So Toda means to lift hands in adoration. Psalm 50 says, he who offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So there you go. There's your hand thing, Toda. There we go. Last one. Ready? Number 7, tequila. And no, I didn't say tequila. Some of you might be saying, hey, I found my praise. Pass the bottle. No, it's not that, okay? This is tequila. So I want you to hang on. So what does it mean? Well, it kind of gives you the same result, I guess, tequila and tequila. It's exuberant singing. So it kind of gives you the same results, right? There you go. So in fact, I think the verse is even funnier. Now look at this. Look. I will extol the Lord at all times, and his praise will always be on my lips. So there you go. So now you've had your 7 Hebrew words of praise. Amen? It says, God likes exuberant singing. I'm saying this to somebody. I know it's a stretch for some of you, and I know I've tried to have a lot of fun today. But look at this. I want you to look at my eyes. This is the word of God. This is not my words today. This is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord, that God likes clapping. He likes singing. He likes shouting. He likes dancing. He likes it all. Why do you say it? He created it. Amen? So don't stand there on your little stuffed up self and all that stuff. And you might say, well, I don't know how to do all that. I've never been a part of that. That's okay. That's okay. I'm not saying you got to fake it or whatever. I'm just saying, get in God's word. Pray. Seek it. You will eventually feel that joy. You may be sitting there, man, all I know to do is, that's okay. You might just do a little toe tap, get you into it. Next thing you know, you might, I'll raise my hands just a little bit. That's okay. God loves it, though. Amen? So some of you have never been given permission to even do that in church. You don't go to the Panther Stadium and say, it's just too loud in here. I don't know if anyone's ever said that. So it's really who we are. We do live this way, and God's trying to add some life to you, but you've got to make some choices. So I'm just challenging you as we close the series. If you will choose to pray, there is more joy. If you will choose purity, there is more joy. Amen? You can't be guilty and happy at the same time. And if you'll find your purpose and realize your purpose is to celebrate your God, you're going to have more joy. And if you'll not be just a worshiper, and thank God for worship, and I love worship, but you have got to praise him too. I'm going to praise him the way God says. In just a few minutes at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to practice your praise today, okay? We're going to sing another song. And I want you to stand up, and I want you to exuberant with all that's in you to sing that song and to get your praise on when we come to the end of the service. But I'm here to remind that you have to make that choice. Why? Because this is your last fill-in, and I want you to write this down. Because the only part of life that you can control is your reaction to it. So you can't control the weather, and you can't control your spouse, and you can't control the economy, and you can't even control your health. But you can control the response to all of these things. You can. And that's why we choose it. And if you don't know what the next blank is, we have not done our job over the last 4 weeks. And that one is choose joy. It's that simple. It really is that simple. It's just to choose joy. So let's take your paper and your pens. I want you to lay them down to your side. No clicking books, anything you got. And I want you to bow your heads. It's a real reverent time now. And I want you to start just focusing your mind on him. And maybe you don't even know what that means at this point. That's okay. I just want you to close your eyes just for a few minutes. The reason why for some of you this is hard for you is because you still like to control part of your own life. You might say, I want God in my life, but I don't think I can give him everything. Well, that's what salvation is all about. Salvation is when you say, not my way, but your way, Lord. I'm going to give you the control of my life. I'm not even going to filter whether I like it or not. I will follow you. You gave me your life, and I will give you my life. And in return, you get the forgiveness of sins. You get a new nature, and you get heaven. And some of you need to make that decision today. In fact, some of you are Christians, but you're still controlling your life. You've only kind of gone part in with God. And some of you, you're not even close to God, or you don't even know what you're even here for, or what you're even doing, but you need God in your life. and we're going to pray over you. Now, we're not going to make you stand up, and I'm not going to bring you down to the front, but we are going to pray a small prayer here in just a few moments, right there in your seat. And I want you to be bold and confident and say, that's me. And if you want to be in that prayer right now, I want you to lift your hand. If that's you right now, if you need prayer, you want to accept Christ, or you've never accepted Christ, or maybe you're not walking with Christ, you do not swear, just raise those hands. See those hands going up. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. And even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you want to keep to make take this step right here where you are, just whisper these words. Jesus, today I give you my life. I'm not holding anything back right now. I ask you to change me, to forgive me where I've messed up, and make me brand new. Come on, say that way to him. Make me brand new in this moment. Say it. Make me brand new in this moment. Jesus, I believe that you gave your life for me. And today, in response, I'm giving my life to you. Thank you for the cross. And thank you that you have a plan for my life. Thank you that there is joy available to me today. And as I step into a relationship with you, and I know that I will never be the same again. Jesus, thank you for making me brand new right now. And in your name I pray, amen and amen.
Let's pray again. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the people who just raised their hands and who just made the best decision of their life, God. We pray for them now that it is not just the end, but it is the beginning. We pray that they will take their next steps in following you through being obedient in water baptism and joining a small group and getting on the growth track and joining the Dream Team, God, and engaging in like-minded believers as they grow in their faith. We thank you for the decisions that are made today, whether it's the next step, whether it's joining a team, God. We thank you that you are working in everyone's lives in this place. And it's your name we pray. Amen.